This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi everyone, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome back to Soap from the Box. It's been ages. I've missed you all. Season 3 is coming to you from next month. We start with a Christmas special with Miss Dani Minogue herself. From Home and Away and all-round singing sensation legend, she joins me for some festive fun. The new series then follows in January 2022. I can't wait to share it with you. I've been speaking to some absolute legends of soap. But welcome to this very special edition. You can also watch this on the YouTube channel where you can watch us all in vision. It's me, four soap stars, and a lot of fun just for climate change. It has been the official UK soap crossover week this week, where familiar faces from your familiar soaps have popped up in unfamiliar places. Who knew Dot Cotton could shear a sheep and Eric Pollard would be such a hit at the Pride of Albert Square, the gay bar? Well, Soap in the Box is joining in the fun. I'm bringing together four famous faces for a very special episode in vision as well for our YouTube channel. It's very early in the morning as well, all in aid of climate change. So it's my pleasure to welcome one by one, officially an OBE, star of Still Open All Hours, goodness gracious me, and EastEnders. She also got pulses racing on Strictly Come Dancing this year. It's the brilliant Nina Wadia. Hello, Nina.
Hey, everyone.
How are you? So, I mean,
I'm reading it.
Maybe it was the curse of homophobic Zainab that got you voted off of Strictly early.
I think so. And that was really mean of them to put me up against two very handsome gay men. It was it was a done deal, wasn't it, at that point?
Now, if you could be in another soap, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh, that's hard. I want to be in all of them. Pops up in every single supermarket for at least one scene and wanting to buy the same food. I think that'd be really funny.
Yeah, you could be the same character. You could be the same character in every single soap. Well. Yeah. My next guest took a casual 30-year break from the soap that made her famous around the world, playing Melanie, whose most loved attribute is a laugh like a seal with a hernia, the brilliant Lucinda Cowden. Hi, Lucinda.
Oh, God, that was such a fantastic introduction. Thank you so much, Lee.
That's all right. It was a big break, wasn't it? I know you did pop back, actually, a few years before but it was basically 30 years.
I was just walking down the Thames, you know. I didn't really pop back, so I was still living in England then. But yes, I did, 30 years. I know, just a quick 30 years between, drinks, I suppose.
And how has it changed in the time you've been back?
Heaps, and yet not. It's kind of weird. It's sort of like there's things that are similar and there's things that are completely and utterly different. But it's good. It's good. I think it's done leaps and bounds, Neighbours. I think it's got storylines that are, you know, much more inclusive and much, I think they've sort of come a long way.
Yes,
From when I was in it in the 80s and early 90s, yeah.
Although there's no Mrs. Mangle, which is a shame.
I know, okay. I was Mrs. Mangle momentarily.
Oh, were you?
That sounds like a tongue twister.
Right, so 3 years, my next guess, 3 years is not a long time to be a resident in Hollyoaks, but more than enough time to be revealed as the notorious gloved hand killer, killing just 7 people in her way. So if you go around our house, be worried when she puts the marigolds on. It's the brilliant Sophie Austin. Hi, Sophie.
Hello. Sorry, I'm hardly awake, I think.
I know. I didn't realise you killed seven people in three
I didn't realise that either. Did I kill seven people?
So blasé.
I know. Well, I don't even know why she did it, to be honest with you. It just sort of changed quite a lot. So
she's a nice girl, didn't she?
Yeah, she went in to be a really nice girl, and then suddenly it was like, you're just going to kill. Then I used to get really worried that they hadn't told the people that I was going to kill them. And I think it was one point that I sort of was like, yes, I've got this scene. They're like, what scene? And I was like, no scene, nothing.
Anyway, which if you had to be, I didn't ask, Lucinda, let me quickly go back to you. Is it true that there is arch competition? Because not only between Sydney and Melbourne, but between Home and Away and Neighbours, are you literally like that? Yes, oh, say yes, and we hate each other.
No, I don't hate anyone. I don't hate anyone from Home and Away. I prefer Neighbours myself. But, you know, that's just personal taste.
Yes, yeah. And Sophie, if you had to be, if you could kill a character in another soap, who would it be?
Oh, my God.
Let's say Zainab.
Let's say Zainab. She was killed off screen.
I can't answer that. I don't. Well, actually, I go back and kill the person who killed me, Silas.
He's not very nice.
But I love him as an actor. So, I'll go back to Hollyoaks and do that.
And my last guest, we have a true legend with us, spending more than 45 years in Emmerdale. not quite. But it does now say, and I don't know whether this is true, Nicola, on Wikipedia, it now says you are the longest serving actress in Emmerdale. I think maybe because Liz has left. I don't know if that's true. She's won many accolades. It was just a shame they realised she could only remember one name. So playing Nicola, it is Nicola Wheeler. Hello.
Oh,
poor Nicola. Typecast. So are you the oldest? Are you the longest serving?
Am I the oldest? I am older than the show. I don't know, actually, you might be right because Liz has just left.
That's amazing now. That's brilliant. That is an accolade.
You know what? There's lots of us who are back in it. So like the likes of Charity started before me, Emma Atkins, but she had a bigger break. We've all taken breaks. I don't think any of us have stayed in it for the length of time. But I think she took a longer break than I did. So that might be true.
Yeah. Wow. What an accolade. And if you could be in another soap, which one would it be?
Oh, I'd have to say probably Neighbours because I watched it as a kid. That was like, I mean, it was the soap that I chose to watch because obviously like Corrie and Emmerdale I watched because my mum watched it. I didn't particularly like
forced, either. Even forced to watch them.
And then later it was EastEnders I chose to watch. But I think Neighbours was the first one as a young person that I chose to watch.
Yeah, we all watched Neighbours. Yeah, I mean, I think it was part and parcel of our growing up, wasn't
huge,
it?
Huge, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like a gateway soap.
Totally. Well, I always say this story and everyone's bored of hearing it, but I do remember when everyone skived off school at lunchtime because it was only on at lunch when I was young and the BBC had to put it on at tea time because too many people were missing the first half of the lesson after lunch.
Yeah. Do you know, I used to watch Countdown with my mum when it was at tea time and so I only ever watched the last 10 minutes of any Neighbours episode and I'd be like, what happened? Oh, okay.
I reckon you would have got everything you needed.
Yeah. I did as well. I loved it.
Oh, it was brilliant. And the theme song went on for about 2 hours as well. The same. okay, so it's a chance. First of all, we're going to get to climate change because that's why we are doing this. But a bit of fun first. So we're going to ask each of you have got a question prepared. I've got one for Nina. So you've done, Nina, basically everything. Hollywood, Bollywood, stage, screen and film. How hard is a soap, do you think, compared to anything else? Is it kind of one of the hardest things?
By far. I found it the hardest because of the volume of work, but I also found it the most satisfying because you end up belonging in a family. You become friends with the people you work with. You look forward to going into work because it's all familiar. And as an actor, that's really hard. It's as close as you can get to a 9-to-5 for an actor. You know, so it's like a place that you kind of really just look forward to going into. And no matter how dramatic the storyline, when you're in there for a long time, you laugh a lot through a lot of different things, a lot of different issues. So, yeah, soap's the hardest, but the most satisfying.
It's true. We did a big storyline together, didn't we, when Yusuf was kind of abusing Zane. And it was, it's that weirdest thing you do, you know, the heaviest days, like we had such heavy days with you, but you just, you know, creasing up laughing in between. It's the only way to get through it.
You have to, otherwise you kind of, you know, actually start to become the character a bit, which is kind of why I left, because my husband said it's her or me. Because I was like turning into this character that he didn't like anyway. No one really liked us.
Oh, we did. We love saying that. Nina, you've got a question for Sophie, I think.
Yeah, I do actually. So, Hollyoaks is, I think, such a different soap because of just a lot of very naked men. Do you enjoy the soap?
You know what? It's really funny, actually, because I started with a family, a group of like seven or five lads, and they were all really, really good looking. And everyone used to be like, but what's it like working with all the time? But yeah, I mean, it is known for its eye candy, isn't it? You can't get away from that. I mean, there's just beautiful people, and you end up thinking, oh my God, maybe they think that I'm as attractive as that. You know,
you're gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad place to work.
And Sophie, do you remember they all used that? I remember that before they did their scene of like them running down the stairs for no reason without a top on, as you do in the middle of the day. But they would literally dive to the floor and be doing press ups for like 5 minutes to get there. I never realised that made their muscles protrude suddenly.
I know, and it was me and Gillian who played the mother, and we were like waiting for them to do their press ups, and we were like, "Can we just get the scene done? We're going out, like, yeah, just need to get the bicep, you know." But no, they're all absolutely brilliant, though. I mean, they're, you know, great guys, so can't complain.
I'm just going to have to say sorry about me having no tooth to the viewers, because I'm waiting for the implant. I keep seeing it come up. I'm trying to do it. I forgot my camera's on reverse, so I keep doing that way, and it's actually the wrong way.
Lee, I've got some white tack. I could have brought it around and shut it in.
Should have just put Tipex in. Sophie, you've got a question for Nicola.
Yes, I do. Now, Nicola, would you rather see your character running the pub, buying the vets, or the corner shop?
Not the pub, because that means you're in a lot. I'm at that acting stage in my life where I'm going, darling, just pay me the money, don't make me work. So I'm like, I'm gutted at the moment. My character's in the cafe and I have to be in there to serve, you know, and so I get the odd line here and there. Corner
the vets. She should be funny at the vets. I mean, she'd have to train.
No, I've done the vets. So I was a receptionist at the vet. I've done it all. I've actually worked behind the bar, and did I work in the shop ever? No. I do David's shop, because we have loads of lovely little deli things, so I could just eat all day as well.
Nicola run the best cleaning service ever in Emmerdale, which actually employed, I mean, there's no disrespect to blind people, but obviously they probably wouldn't be the best cleaners. She actually employed a woman who was about 80 and a blind person as her cleaners. To go out.
But she was, I mean, the point of the story was she was ticking boxes in order to open her business. So she did. She wanted somebody with a disability and somebody who was old, because she wanted to, she said, I'm going to be inclusive of everything. She wasn't doing it in any way to be kind and accepting and inclusive. She was just literally doing it so she could get her business set up.
And so, Nicola, you've got a question for Lucinda.
I have. So at its peak, Neighbours was massive, and millions of people watched it over here in the UK as well as Australia. So I'm going to ask, I've had some pretty weird places that I've been recognised. When it was at its height of fame and millions of people knew your face, where's the strangest place you've been recognised?
I think the beach. I think like coming out of the water after I've been for a swim. There was this little girl that came up and she had like a piece of paper that was completely wet and a pen. And she came up and was like, can you? And I was like, sort of thing. But yeah, I think that was pretty weird. Just sort of like you're wet. I was, you know, I'd probably been dumped by the wave. You know, it was sort of like, I was a bit sort of like, oh, okay. And the paper just fell apart, so it wasn't successful.
We had that.
Lucinda, I mean, just the fact that you say that, the weirdest piece was a beach, and all of us here in England going, a beach, how nice to be recognised as a beach.
I can't remember what a beach looks like at the moment. And then Lucinda, I can't remember who I asked you to ask a question to. Did I just say it?
You gave me a general.
I gave you a general one. Yeah, okay, sorry, go.
And so I wanted to sort of ask everyone, because I know that feeling of when you're reading your new scripts, if you know what I mean, and the last time you went, I'm what?
Oh, that's a really that good question.
That was my general question to everyone. Like the last time you read a script and you went, are you serious? I'm.
What was yours? I think that was first, my... because you got put, you're with Toadie now, aren't you? Melanie's with Toadie.
Well, that affair with Toadie was a. I was like, no, hello, no. But that was a bolt, and then another bolt was all the affairs, like finding out that she'd actually slept with virtually everybody she's ever worked with, and she's him secretary. So, so I'm reading that, going, I never realised I was quite that active.
Nina,
so I just wanted to put that out there.
Brilliant.
To everyone.
That is brilliant.
Of what that feels like.
I think for me the first thing was when I got the first script and I went, she's Pakistani and she's a homophobe. there was one where I was literally like, oh my god, how are we going to actually play this moment out? And it was, you know, when they said, okay, so we've got this huge storyline and you know, the argy bargy, the roof falls down and you're just going to be covered in ash and everything, and all I could think was, oh, I'm gonna have to have a really cold shower in my porter cabin afterwards.
don't worry about the acting, it's more about
comfort.
Yes.
I Nicola? Understand.
Well, mine was, it was more of a fun one. I mean, I've got one where they paralyzed my arm, which was more of a, oh great, because that's gonna be. Yeah, I mean, I've got it back now. In typical soap world, I have got my arm back, but I had to have a paralyzed arm for about 3 years, which was just, it was a nightmare because people kept thinking there was something wrong with my arm. And they're going, oh, poor actress, what's happened to her arm? I was like, no, it is story, but they've kind of forgot about it. But my fun one more recently was that Nicola and Mandy have a wrestling match.
Oh, yeah.
Flattered all over us, and it was ace. It was like one of those, you know, one of those really silly episodes you get to do where you just get to be an idiot, and it was great fun. So that was my last one of going. It was more of a what? Yay! You know.
And Sophie, yours must be. I mean,
I think a lot of it was, yeah, I think it was like when you get a script and you'd be like, oh, they're leaving. Oh, that's a shame. You know, like if it like, and also it was the fact of like how my character was able to like remove these massive male bodies and like the size of me compared to, and I think there was one where I had like rolled them up in a carpet and put them in the van and chucked them off a cliff, and I was like, I don't know how I would do that, and they're like, it's fine, we're just doing cutaways, you know, things like that. I was like, okay.
And I'm sure the stand-in when I was there, you know, you used anyone to be the stand-in for the gloved hand killer because you would have the silhouette of it. So you must have changed size probably her episode.
Oh yeah, and then like, yeah, it would be like one day she'd have massive, like nails on, and the next day she'd have a really, like when it was just the image of the hands and the injection, like
hairy
really hairy hands.
And then, yeah. The hooded claw coming
disguising
in.
Yeah. The wrist. Right, we will get on to climate change because we're seeing the effects, obviously, of human-caused climate change everywhere. Thankfully, our planet is equipped with a powerful tool for stabilising the climate, which is nature itself. Now, protecting nature today means a better future planet for future generations. I mean, Sophie and Shane, you have a young, not Shane's here, Shane Wall, but Sophie, you and Shane have a young child. Do you kind of worry about what the future holds for like your next generation?
Yeah, I do. And I'm to be honest, I'm not totally clued up on a lot of climate change. And a lot of it is, which is my fault, is anxiety about that. And you sort of, for a long time, sort of, like hid my head in the sand. But it's things like trying to, we actually have a vegetable patch that we grow a lot from, and it's trying to eat, you know, less meat, things like that I'm trying, you know having one car and things like that. But it's interesting that even though Willow's just started school, the information that she comes back from school that they get taught at a young age about and stuff like that, which is great for us because it makes me have a conscious effort to be like, I need to educate myself more. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just scary, and I think it is great.
Right, I think a lot of people do bury their head under the sand.
Yeah,
so I think that's why it's so important. The one of the biggest things is to talk, isn't it, which is why we're doing this. I mean, nature is one of the biggest things. Nicola, you obviously look after bees, you keep bees, which are also in, you know, because of everything going on, are in serious decline. But you've been really passionate about this and you've taught me quite a lot about it. What kind of made you stand up and think about keeping bees?
Well, my initial, I've been keeping bees for about 8 years, and it started with, we noticed that there was a decline in the insect population, which of course we need for growing vegetables, everything. It helps with pollinate for our food. And so I decided, oh, why not, you know, I've got lovely grounds here. I've got a lovely big massive garden. And so I went around and asked all my neighbours, you included, saying, oh, do you mind if I keep bees? And everyone was like, oh, no, great, great, as long as we get free honey. And I loved it. I find them fascinating as creatures. I find them that just amazing, all the waggle dance, how they communicate, what they do, how the hive works as a collective. And I've had some disastrous years. We have a lot of agriculture around here, but it's mainly animal rather than crop. And further afield, there is crop farming. And I've had a couple of hives collapse. So I'm a little bit like somebody spraying something around here. I don't know who. I don't know how I'll get to the bottom of what they're doing. And this is the main problem. It's intensive farming means that we have to protect the crops. And in doing so, we're harming other things like insects. But it's cascades, because the minute your insects decline, the animals that eat the insects decline, which would be like birds, and then their predators decline, and so on and so on and so forth. So it is really protecting the tiniest things, you know. So that's where I started. But yeah. I agree with, like, Sophie, the thing, when you've got a kid, the responsibility you've got the minute you have children is you've created a carbon footprint, and you know you have. And so I think when you've got children, you feel more responsible, because I know already, not that he's a burden to nature, but I've created something as human being that might be in the future. So, you know, that's where I sort of started to get more and more responsible. So like you, we do veg and things. It's just trying to be as green as you can.
Yeah.
But then having said that, I flew off to Barbados.
With bees as well, obviously, there's been a big thing, hasn't there, to grow, let your pots of your garden grow wild, which a lot of we saw in the local area.
This is insects. Yeah, what they're asking as well is don't cut back in autumn. What everyone does is that they clear their garden out, they cut all the seed heads down, everything. Don't, because it's a home to insects. Nature will, and this works, I'm telling you, because we've done it with our flower bed. Leave it to die back on its own over winter. You have got way less weeds in spring, way less weeds. You barely have to do any weeding. And it's ace, because basically it goes back and nourishes the earth, and the insects have somewhere to live over winter.
Amazing. So, Sophie, I know you've got to go, so we'll say goodbye to you.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye, sir.
She's got to go and grocery. She's got to go and pick her veg.
Oh.
Hi, Shay. Hi. Mr. Shay Moore there, popping on at the last minute. So 2020, bye. So 2021, the hottest year on record. July 2021 being the hottest July ever, which means that's the hottest month since records began in 1880. They are saying 11% of people, which is 800 million people, are vulnerable in the world to climate change impacts, kind of quite instantly to droughts, floods, heat waves, extreme weather events, and sea level rise. So it's not just in the UK. I mean, Nina, you've traveled around, you've been to America, you've been to India filming. I mean, is it a huge difference that you've seen elsewhere?
Oh, a massive difference. I think there's, you know, there are lots of people in India who are very educated about it. But then there's the kind of poorer communities who don't have a choice. It's not like they have a choice to change how they live or where they live. And they're the ones that are affected the most when it comes to climate change. You know, those flash floods in Bangladesh and things like that. It's just, it's actually really, really horrific. And so I think it always comes down to education. You know, I've got teenage kids who, you know, have brought the education back to me. You know, because of the way our family functions, we need two cars because of our lifestyle. So we decided one of the cars now, you know, we either get rid or we change to electric, but it's so expensive. Electric cars are really expensive. But having said that, the government has given great subsidies towards electric cars. Even the companies themselves, I mean, ours happens to be Vauxhall, they gave a massive subsidy. So it worked out that actually costs the same to have a petrol car than it does to have an electric car. So also a lot cheaper to run. But on a personal note, this is my contribution. Please don't judge me. You know, I'm partial to a bit of red wine. But I read somewhere that actually the bottles that these, you know, that the wine's kept in is not carbon friendly at all. So I've been on the hunt to find
bottles of wine that are like they're plastic inside, shaped with cardboard on the outside. So they look like wine bottles, but they're actually made of cardboard. Thank you, me.
Well done. Or just go for the huge vats, the big boxes instead.
Are you talking about just that glass bottles? I always thought glass bottles were good because they could be recycled, no?
No, there's something about wine bottles themselves. They are, whatever material they need to be made from in order to contain the wine and look after it and be at the right temperature, this and that, they actually are not friendly for the environment at all.
Well, there's a big thing about masks at the moment as well, because there's so many masks, obviously, over COVID that now are
completely. Dumped.
But Lucinda, Australia, I mean, I know you're got some quite strong opinions about Australia and what's happening out there.
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Because our government just doesn't seem to get it. I don't know. But it's they don't get it. At the COP, the climate change conference, this Australian stall was sponsored by an oil and gas company.
Oh my God.
They don't get it. And it's frightening here. I'm scared about summer happening.
Yeah.
I
think that's the thing now, isn't it? Is that scare people who live in places that flood easily now, it's happening almost every year. I mean, they can't even sell their houses and stuff. And in Australia, obviously, you've got the bushfires, which have become bigger and bigger year on year on year.
Yeah. Well, we had those incredible bushfires in 2020, and they were like firestorms, and they were like nothing anyone had ever seen before. And what happens is there's no topsoil after these things. It burns the topsoil away, and it makes all of this land, ungrowable, unarable, and we seem to have a government that's fixated with fossil fuels and it doesn't seem to understand that we could be at the front of renewables here. We've got so much sun. Solar is amazing. We have no electric vehicle incentive here at all.
Wow.
No.
Well, come on, Australia.
Do you think that might be distance, though? Because in Australia, nobody thinks anything about driving 2 hours, do they? Because it's so spread out. And
there's
not
many cars on the road. Like driving 2 hours in, in London, you could only be going somewhere, actually. Mm. You could walk in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think we are beholden to these things because we are... blessed, I suppose, with all of these minerals in the ground and all of this coal and all of this stuff. But they're building more coal mines now, and when we're going to be, I see, unfortunately, that Australia could be like a real pariah if they just keep on going and don't do anything about it. I think it's terrible. So
let's hope they'll learn something at the conference. And come back.
Yeah.
I don't think they're capable of learning anything.
My dog's furious with Australia in the background. We're just going to go through to end some things that people can do out there very easily on their own, because I think people think there's not much they can do. Firstly, you can use your voice, everyone. So it is up to you who we elect. Decisions on environment, green spaces, roads, cycling, infrastructure, waste, recycling. So basically get information before you vote. I know I'm a bit of a person that doesn't do that. Eat less meat and dairy, which is a huge thing. I know, Nicola, we've already said you grow your own veg. Lucinda, do you eat meat or dairy?
Yes, I do a little bit of both, but we're trying to cut down.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize it was such a huge thing actually for climate change, to be honest. I'm quite
and the methane as well. And there's that's a really big thing with cattle production and land clearing. All of these things add together. So,
and do they have in Australia, like M&S over here, do now a whole plant food section? Some of it is lovely, actually, and I'm trying to persuade myself to do it. You'd have things like that.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. But we're very, beholden to our meat here and our Barbies and our.
Oh yeah, of course. It's not quite the same. Stick a plant on the Barbie.
But I think they've said, haven't they? You don't have to cut it out completely, but it's just if everybody did half and half, it'd be great. Yeah.
And they're also saying that we should be encouraged to eat insects, but the Western world obviously can't be encouraged to eat them. I mean, Nina, could you see yourself snacking, chowing down on a bag of, locusts?
Actually, I have to tell you, so a friend of ours from France, he had a bag of snack crickets.
Yeah, like you can buy them in Sainsbury's. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What?
Yes, really? You can buy them in Sainsbury's. God. Yeah, Paul, my Lithuanian husband loves them.
Well, I've never tried that before, because it was just the look of it. I couldn't do it.
No, I know.
So he said, okay, close your eyes. I did. I took a bite and it was one of the most delicious things I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
So I highly recommend it. And high in protein, low in fat.
Well, I will just say we won't have any insects to eat if they keep spraying pesticides on them. So maybe we have to address that as well.
Yeah. Cut back on flying is another thing. And I do think lockdown and Zoom might have helped that, especially for business people who constantly traveled for work. That now, obviously, even my boss was persuaded that, we can do stuff via Zoom like today. We don't all have to meet up. So hopefully that might change travel slightly. But obviously, I didn't know this. If you fly business class, which I'm not sure whether any of us do, your carbon footprint is apparently 3 times higher than someone in economy.
Wow.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Explain that.
I can't.
Because you're taking up more space, perhaps that's what it is.
More space. Oh, probably, yes. More space, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well done, Lucinda, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. So I saw, yeah, so... Yeah, so
and also they're probably the people who own the oil companies, so therefore they are carbon footprint is bigger.
They're the only people who aren't paying for their flights. That's what I noticed about business.
Yeah, and they probably eat more, drink more, get probably more expensive cars to the airport. I mean, it's probably all of that knocked up, isn't it? And their house is 4 times bigger.
Oh, let's not hate on the business people. I'm flying out next week.
Yes. But you're fine, Nina, because you're going first.
I didn't want to say it is a private jet.
You're lying. It's cattle class, isn't it?
Yes. A private jet.
One
per family. Leave the car at home is another thing and walk. Now, again, that's kind of, I mean, I know where we are, Nicola, where we live, there's not even a bus that runs through where we are. So you have no choice. So that's another thing that needs to be looked at, I think, everywhere. Mm. Because if you're in the city centre, it's very easy, like in London even. But if you're slightly out of London, the trains become less. And so more people are going to jump in their cars. So that's still something that we can't really do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine us, if me on a bike up the hill in Tong Village? I mean, I'd be one less carbon footprint because I wouldn't be here.
Get a horse. I think the main problem a lot of countries have, though, is the infrastructure isn't there to go green yet. You know, it's like the electric cars. It's all great. But if all of us went out and got an electric car today, the grid would crash because it wouldn't be able to cope with everybody charging. So I think there's a lot of work within countries that they have to do to their infrastructure in order to help us go
green.
Yeah. I like the idea of we all do have to do those little bits. But ultimately, it's down to the people making the decisions for the country. They have to do a hell of a lot. And we will foot the cost because nobody invests, do they? Certainly our country
exactly.
is notorious for not investing in their infrastructure. But that's the point is, it is the big wigs. It's those billionaires need to hand out some cash now.
Yeah. One thing anyone can do, the Woodland Trust are aiming to plant 64 million trees in the next 10 years. We need our trees, obviously, because they absorb carbon dioxide, as do forests. Trees regulate temperatures in urban areas and can reduce flood risk. And of course, are vital in habitats for insects, animals, birds and amphibians. So I think that's something anyone can do. If you've got a garden that's got room for a tree, go out and plant a tree. You can do that this year. You can do that now. And at least that's one positive thing you've done. Obviously, don't need to plant 64 million. And cut consumption and waste. So everything we use as a consumer has a carbon footprint. So avoid single-use items and fast fashion. I actually love vintage furniture and vintage clothing. Do we all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
I
remember actually the last time I bought something. We've been in lockdown, so it's been a while.
Yes,
but I just love to go, vintage shopping and secondhand shopping and charity shop shopping so much more. I find it so much more satisfying.
Yeah. You always wonder who's died in this.
And what have they got in their pockets? I got a pair of jeans the other day. Cost me $4. There was $50 in the pocket.
What? Yay. Wow. Yay. There we go. That's a reason enough to go vintage clothes shopping. Well, don't it's been get amazing. It's been amazing to have you all on this special edition for Climate Change and for Soap Crossover Week. Lovely to meet you all and see you all soon.
Bye. Nice to meet you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Plant a tree. Plant a tree. What a brilliant morning was spent with those four ladies from Soap. Four legends. Thank you all for joining me to support climate change and to support Soap Crossover Week. Remember, there are 50 episodes in season one and season two to download and listen to right now from Soap from the Box. We will be back at Christmas with a Christmas special, and the new series, season three, starts in January. Thank you to Ian McCallum for all of his press help, and to David Stevens and the Bothy, as usual, for their editing and technical wizardry. See you at Christmas.